Well, Grace City, if his love never ends, I think our praise should never end because he deserves that kind of praise. Come on, TV land. Come on, let's give God a praise this morning. Come on, hallelujah. His love never ends. That's enough to praise him. Hallelujah. We are in a series entitled Do the Work, and we're called to do the work. And today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 23. And here are the words of the scripture. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, you are the potter. We are the clay. Mold us, shape us, make us, break us to what you need us to be. Holy Spirit, we give you full authority. Minister with our minds, speak with our tongue, love with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in his presence. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." For the time that's mine this morning, I just want to talk from the title, Love in Action. Many of us have heard the saying in one form or another, that love isn't about what you say, but love is about what you do. In other words, love needs to be in action. We can find God's love in action in two forms. God love gives to us, but also God love forgives us. Last week, we talked about being a good neighbor. A man asked Jesus, how must he gain eternal life? And Jesus helped us to understand that one must be a good neighbor by putting love in action. The man said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, and love your and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, Jesus was teaching that love has to be in action. The love in action Jesus puts on display was not based on two people being friends. The love and action that Jesus puts on display was not based on the same cultural background. The love that Jesus puts on display was not based on the same racial experience. The love and action that Jesus puts on display is because he puts on display because someone is in need. You know, the greatest need in all of humanity was the need for a loving and compassionate God to give himself to humanity who was separated from sin and brokenness. God, in the midst of our brokenness, didn't just say, "I love you." But God, John said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." We serve a God that gives, but we also serve a God that forgives. Let me begin with what love in action that forgive is not. It is not acting like you're not hurt by someone or the other person. It is not acting like pain is gone. It's not acting like business as usual, like nothing happened. It is not just picking up where you left off. It is not believing that one person is not responsible for what they've done or the harm they've done. It is not excusing the other person's behavior. It's not acting like what happened is not important. It is not acting like you don't share the blame in my hurt. But in psychology today, Nancy Collier, Reverend and licensed social worker, writes this. She says, forgiveness in part is a willingness to drop the narrative on a particular injustice, to stop telling ourselves over and over again the story of what happened, what this other person did, or how we were injured. It is the decision to let the past be what it was and leave it as it is, imperfect and not what we wish it had been. We stop the woulda, couldas, and shouldas, but we are open to meeting the present moment freshly and willing and able to respond to what's happening in the present moment, not to react through our anger and resentment and the residue from the past. Many of us in this room understands love in action by giving. But we struggle with this idea of love in action by forgiveness. Some of y'all are sitting under the sound of my voice and listening to this message. Internally, you are saying, Pastor Corey, you have no idea what I've been through. And I want you to understand this morning, you're absolutely correct. I have no idea what you've been through. But my assignment this morning is to present to you what God had to do and what God had to go through in order to change our lives. I'm not here to minimize your experience, but I'm here to show you a God that understands all our pain, disappointment, and fear. Grace City, love and action can change lives forever. David was a murderer, but he was a man after God's heart, because love and actions can change lives. Peter was a denier, but he was able to establish the first church because love and action can change lives. Paul was a persecutor, but he became a missionary and moved the gospel around the world because love and action can change lives. You are here today, and you and I are here today because we are sinners, but now we're called children of God because love can change lives. Well, since I'm out here, I might as well testify. Charles Wesley put it this way: when I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the water, he lifted me. Now the safe am I. You want to know why I'm standing in this pulpit this morning? It's because God's love lifted me. God's love lifted me when nobody can help. God's love in action lifted me. Well, that's where we are in the text this morning. We find God's love in action. It is Friday at 9 a.m. Jesus is in the last hours of his earthly ministry. Jesus is hanging on the cross in between two thieves, taking on our punishment. He's hanging there with nails in his hand and nails in his feet, and a crown of thorns on his head. His body has been beaten, and he's been stripped. He has nothing covering him. He has nothing hiding him. He has nothing protecting him. He has no family around him. He's fully exposed because he has been stripped. He's been stripped of his dignity. He's been stripped of his integrity. He's been stripped of his earthly responsibility. He's been stripped physically, but not only was he stripped physically, he was also stripped emotionally. His disciples betrayed him. His friends denied him. The assembly accused him. Religious leaders convicted him. The soldiers stripped him. The crowd yelled, "Crucify him." This crucifixion was merciless, sinful, blasphemous, graceless, inhumane act. In Grace City, I want us to understand that there is a cultural perspective and way we can look at it, and then there is a cross perspective and the way that we can look at forgiveness. Today, I don't present to you a cultural response, but I present to you a cross response. Today, I don't present to you the world's response, but I present to you the kingdom's response. Today, I don't present to you man's response, but I present to you God's response. So I invite you to climb up from your circumstance, and I'm inviting you to raise up to the cross and see your situation the way Jesus sees us. So the question for us this morning: what did Jesus see that allowed him to put his love in action through forgiveness? The first thing I believe we can see from the cross that allowed love to be put in action was Jesus seeks the source of his strength instead of the source of his pain. Let me say that again. I said, Jesus sought the source of his strength, not the source of his pain. In order for us to put God's love in action through forgiveness, we have to seek after the one that is the source of our strength. Jesus is weak and vulnerable, but he spends no energy on the ones that causes pain, injustice, and victimization. The first thing he does is he speaks to the one that can give him strength to get over this mountain. He speaks to the one who is the balm in Gilead. He speaks to the one that in a difficult moment can give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. He speaks to the one that gives hope in a hopeless situation. He speaks to the one that can give you joy for your salvation. The first thing Jesus says from the cross is, Father. He calls his Father. The word Father here is Abba. It means source. Jesus calls the source of his strength. Great City, if we're going to put love in action, we must focus our energy on the source of our strength instead of the energy of the source of our pain. I know that I'm right because the psalmist put it this way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give away and the mountain falls into the heart of the sea. And though it is water roars and foam, the mountain and quakes there surges. But here it is. There is a river whose streams make glad in the city of our God, the holy place where the Most High God. God is in her. He shall not fall. God will help her at a break of day. The first thing I see is that Jesus from the cross puts his love in action by focusing on the source of his strength instead of the source of his pain. But the second thing I see is that Jesus put love in action through forgiveness by seeing our needs greater than our evil deeds. He sees our needs greater than our evil deeds. So now, church, family, we get the chance to witness a conversation between Jesus and the Father. And I don't know about you, but if my son was being sacrificed for somebody else and he had to go through the traumatic experience that he did, as a father, I would be sitting on the edge of my seat as my son is going through that pain, saying, I will do whatever you want me to do. I would be on the edge as tears are coming down my eyes, saying, son, I will do whatever it takes to relieve you from this pain. And Jesus looks up from his Father in the midst of injustice, in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his hurt. And he says, Father, forgive them. Right in the middle of his victimization, he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus asked the Father to forgive him because, church, he had an ability to hold two things. He can hold the way he was treated was evil, but he was also holding that the people who caused the pain needed to be enlightened. Let me say, as a matter of fact, the need to be enlightened was greater than the pain that was caused. It's not because they were simply evil, but it was because these people had a blind spot. The problem Jesus saw from the cross was not just evil. It was a blind spot. Well, Pastor Coy, what do you mean? Because I know that was a blind spot because this is what Jesus says. He says, Father, forgive them. Watch this, church. Because they know not what they do. In other words, it's not the evilness, it's the lack of enlightenment. let me come get you because you're trying to get cute on me this morning. You're trying to get cute on me this morning because you're saying, okay, what do you mean a blind spot? Well, you all know what I'm talking about. And when it says you don't know what you're doing, have you ever driven in your car on the highway and you looked in your rearview mirror and you didn't see anyone there? And all of a sudden you turned your car into that lane and that person started beeping and saying, beep, 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 what are you doing? You idiot, why are you in my lane? And what you did in that moment is you noticed that you just didn't see them. Watch this, church. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know. I didn't see you. I didn't know you were there. Well, Grace City, what blind spot is the section in our lives where there needs to be illumination from the darkness. And there is a section that you cannot see. In Grace City, Jesus' forgiveness comes not because he sees just our wickedness, but he understands each and every one of us have a blind spot. And it's because of that blind spot in our lives, he knows that he is the light that can penetrate the darkness, that can be clarity in our lives. Oh, that's good news that Jesus doesn't reduce us down to our wickedness, but Jesus sees our blindness. And because of that blind spot, he was able to forgive us for our wrong. He was able to forgive us of our wrong because Jesus knows that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and who shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even the enemy, and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble afar. Though war shall rise against me, my heart shall not fear. But here it is. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me. He shall hide me in the pavilion of his tabernacle and set me up upon a rock. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They had a blind spot. And he says, I forgive you. Let me pray for us. Our Father and our God, I pray now for the blind spots in our lives, that you would give us the strength to see things from the cross, not just how evil, but Jesus saw our blind spot. Give us what we need. And God, let us put forgiveness, the work, in action. In Jesus' name.